There's no truer words than what we just sang. Life gets hard at times. Amen? But yet, it's worth living because this life we have was given to us by the Lord. And He has a purpose for each and every one of us. And at times, we don't even know what that purpose is. But life is worth living because He lives. He lives within us. Amen? Amen. I'd like to welcome you all here. I'd like to welcome our visitors and those who are watching us via Facebook Live. We had a wonderful service already down at the fairgrounds. A little warm, but 2 years ago I was complaining because I got rained on. So there ain't no satisfying us, right? But it was a wonderful service, and I thank you for coming back here to join us in worship here as well. Today, what I want to talk to you about is the church. And over the years, I've heard the question asked, what is the church? And a lot of times, we hear answers such as a place to fellowship, a place to praise and worship the Lord, a place to hear God's word, a place to have a wedding, a place to have a funeral. That is the answer to the question, what is the church? Today, we're going to see what God and His Word says about the church. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 22. The church, a place? We'll see. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 reads, "And He put all things under the feet of His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." That answers our question, what is the church? It's not a what. The church is Jesus Christ. Amen? His word tells us that He's the head of the church. His body is the church. And we who sit here today, who know Christ is our Savior, we are members of that body. So we are the church. You see, this beautiful building that we come and we congregate in is not the church. It's those who come in to the house of the Lord, which is this building. The Lord gave us this beautiful building. It is His house. And the church dwells within it. When we enter into God's house to worship and to praise Him, then the church has gathered. We are the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And what I mean by the head of the church, I'm not absolutely talking about this head. He is the governing body of the church. He is in charge of the church. We need to look to Him as members of His body to see how He wants our members to react. If I want my hand to move, the brain in my head has to tell it to move. Otherwise, it's dumb as a block. It won't do nothing. And so it's important that the church, the members of the body, look towards the head, who is Jesus Christ. God gave Him reign over the church and all the members in it. And we've seen that it says He fills all in all. That means Jesus, as the head of the church, fills the body with the members. So what's the purpose of the church? Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Excuse me. You see, Acts 42 could be considered a purpose statement for the whole church. The church is to gather to pray, the church is to gather to fellowship, the church is to gather to worship, the church is gathered together to partake of the Lord's Supper. And there's also many, many other things that the church is required to do. But as we come into God's house, the purpose of the church according to Ephesians, is the teaching and biblical doctrine. This is where we come in part to learn about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is where we come, this is where the church comes, to learn about the will of God. This is where the church comes, for we can see how Jesus tells us to live a life like His. And when we come here with open hearts and open minds, and the Holy Spirit can just wrap us up and teach us so many things, then we become more prepared to go out into the world and let the world know who the church is. If I went down to Family Market right now and the first person I see and I ask them, what do you think church is? Oh, it's that building that you go to on Sunday. But see, Jesus requires us to show our communities in this world that that is not the church. We are the church. Jesus Christ is the church. The purpose of the church is to provide a place of fellowship for believers, which the Lord has blessed us with. We have a place to fellowship. And we should be so grateful. Because back when the churches first started, they started off in a few homes. And then as the church grew, God provided a house for His church to worship in. And so it's important, as the members of the body of the church, that we do what God requires of us to make sure that His house stays open. And that is both financially, more importantly, it's prayer. We need to pray to the Lord to show us what we need to do to be prepared for Him to send more of His children here. He's preparing us right now. I truly believe that. I truly believe it. Can I bring anybody in this church? I could probably drag them in here. Wouldn't do any good. So when we come in here, we learn from God's Word what we must do to be prepared to harvest, to be prepared to plant the seed. How do we plant the seed when we look in our little seed bag and there ain't no seed left in there? And sometimes when we're given the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, our seed bag is empty. We forgot to fill it. Not a good thing, amen? Also, the purpose of the church is to observe the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is one of two sacraments. And as the church, we should take great care in partaking of the Lord's Supper. We must make sure that we understand and we take the bread and the wine and truly remember why. We pop the wafer in our mouth, drink the juice, and ain't give one thought to what it represents. There's only two sacraments, and that is one of them. And so the church provides a place that we can take the Lord's Supper, but the church also helps to remind why we partake, which is more important than the actual partaking of it. And then lastly, in Philippians, it says that the church is responsible and has a purpose of praying. As Sandy asked us this morning, and I'll ask you again, put a reminder in your phone, put it on your calendar. It don't have to be an hour-long prayer, but prayer is powerful. That's why Jesus taught about it so much. And Jesus Himself was constantly in prayer during His time here on earth. He prayed to the Father constantly. And look at the results. We all know that we have prayed at some time or another and God has answered that prayer and did some amazing things. And we can't become disheartened when we pray and we don't see immediate answers. Because sometimes God leaves it out there for a little bit for a few reasons. One, He might be testing our faith to see whether or not we truly believe. And the other might be what we're asking for isn't good enough for one of God's children. God has something better, and he's got the plans in work to give us that better blessing. We just have to patiently wait. Patience. Ooh, that's a hard one. Also, it's the church, the purpose of the church, to proclaim the gospel of salvation through Christ Jesus. The church is called to be faithful in sharing the gospel through word and deed. The church is to be the lighthouse in the community, pointing people to Jesus Christ. That is one of the highlights of what the church is to do. And that is one of the highlights of the purpose of the church. If we look at the beginning of the church, it's easy for us to proclaim the gospel today. We can do it without fear. We can do it without worrying about being persecuted too much. We might be called some names, but sticks and stones. But in the beginning, one of the reasons they met at their houses was because when they were persecuted, it was sometimes up to death. And so they had to kind of hide. But see, we don't have to hide, but yet we hide. We're Christians when we're in the Lord's house, but when we leave the Lord's house, oh, I don't want the world to think different of me. I wish Karen was here because I'm about to mess this up. We have to be in the world, but not of the world. Amen, amen, I got it right. Maybe Karen shouldn't be here when I say it. And there is so much truth in that, and as Don said in his devotion, we have to live here. But we don't have to act. And it all boils down to relationship. And if you haven't grasped a hold of the importance of relationship yet, I don't know what to tell you. Because the Lord has been pouring it out over months. The importance of our relationship with him. I can't remember a Sunday that I have not mentioned that up here. And it's because the Lord has laid it on my heart and hopefully on your hearts, how important our relationship with him is. Nothing else matters. This world doesn't matter. This world don't care a lick about you. And if you look at the world today, we'll get into that here in just a little bit, but man, if we need Jesus anymore today, I can't think of when. The world needs Jesus. They need his salvation. So why is it important for the members to congregate? Why is it important that we come together? The Bible says so. It does. Jesus spoke a lot about it. Paul spoke a lot about it. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The day drawing near, what Scripture's talking about, the day drawing near, they're talking about the second coming of our Lord and Savior. And I can promise you one thing, or two things. I don't know when that is, but it's closer today than it was yesterday. And I believe that God intended it to be that way. Otherwise, we could do what we want until August 31st, Jesus is coming, so about the 15th, I better start getting right. That's not how it works. Because what we do on the outside does not matter to God so much as what he sees on the inside. We can't hide our hearts. We can't hide our thoughts from God. We can't do it. We can hide them from one another, but we cannot hide them from him. For the church to gather in the Lord's house is not just a good suggestion. It's God's will for us. That's why Paul speaks about it. This world will beat you up and not care one little bit about how bad it beat you. It'll kick you when you're down. It'll do all it can to try to kill you. Not just physically, but more importantly, spiritually. Satan wants us just as bad as the Lord does. He just doesn't have the power to overcome the Lord. And he is all about this earth. He's seeking who he can destroy. Amen. Like I said, even in the early church, there was people falling out in the early church. And we see it. The author of Hebrews says that's not the way to go. But even in the early church, their reason for falling away was they were scared to death of persecution. What's our excuse? What's our excuse for falling away? We don't have one. Nobody is going to string us up in Julesburg for being Christians. We have nothing to fear in that regard. I read articles almost every week about new churches in other parts of the world that these people are dying for their faith. And yet they congregate more than once a week. They never miss a day that the house is open, not knowing whether or not when they went to the Lord's house this day, whether or not they were going to be arrested, whether or not they were going to be tried as traitors and then executed. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. That in itself should open our eyes to the importance of being more devoted to Jesus Christ. We need to be ready. If I ask myself right this minute, are you ready if the Lord came right now? I would like to think I am, but probably not. Because we're a work in progress. He's still working on us. And it's important that we let him work on us. And a lot of times, this is where he does his work. When we are gathered together, the Bible says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. So when we gather here, we don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. He's already here. All we have to do is open up our hearts and our minds and allow him to do what it is he wants to do. Let him lead this service, not me, not Arden. Let the Holy Spirit lead the followers. Let the Holy Spirit lead the church. But so often we refuse. He lays something on our heart. Oh, no, I can't do that. Friends, you didn't just cost you a blessing. You cost somebody else a blessing, and you'll be held accountable. Ouch. Truth's truth. I know I'm going to be held accountable. But I also know that the Lord is forgiving. And so we strive to do better. We can't worry about the mistakes. We just got to try and strive to do better. You see, the Christian life was never meant to be solitary. We are a body, a flock, a building, and a holy nation. There's no lone wolves in biblical Christianity. Even when the disciples went out, Jesus sent them out in pairs. When the apostles went all over the world preaching the gospel, they took someone with them. They had an apprentice, so to speak. Paul had Timothy. And then after he left Timothy, he got another one. Jesus himself, other than times where he went off to pray by himself, was never by himself. He had others with him. Because we have to remember he came here as the Son of Man. And then there was times that even he would get discouraged. And he needed the fellowship of others. And who did he choose to fellowship with? Those who were willing to fellowship with him. So we're not meant to do this by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. We'll surely fail. Also, it's important that we gather together for gives us an opportunity to love one another, which Jesus calls us to do. It gives us an opportunity to encourage one another. I'm amazed a lot of times, and you'd think that it would have resonated with me by now, but I'm amazed how often and how much I feel, much better I feel. I messed that all up. When I leave here on Sunday, I got all kinds of energy. Now, that doesn't mean I don't go home and get my lazy boy and get my nap on before I come back here on Sunday evening. But it's spiritually. We may be tired physically. But man, when you allow the Holy Spirit to do His thing while you congregate, the effects are amazing. They're astonishing. Yet I ask myself, well, why are you so astonished by how you feel after you leave on Sunday mornings? We should expect to leave here full. We should expect to leave here excited. Because we are the church. We are the members. We are the members of the body. Also, instructing one another, honoring one another, and it gives us an opportunity to be kind and compassionate to one another. All these things, who do they sound like to you? Absolutely. They sound like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's exactly who He was. And He would gather the multitude. I'd be excited if I came here one Sunday and there was no more room left in the pews. But Jesus had them by the thousands. But He stayed humble. He was a servant to those thousands. Just like we should be servants to one another. And I think we do a pretty good job of that. I don't think that's something that the Lord would really have to strike us down for or really teach us. I think we do a fairly good job of looking out for one another as well as our neighbors. So lastly, what happens when a member is missing? What happens when a member of the body is missing? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 or chapter 12, verse 14 through 20 reads like this: For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body was an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If we all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. One body. And each, this body of the church, requires every member. We have a body, right? If we're missing a member, the body don't quite function the way it should. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21 says, The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on these parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving great honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Jesus is telling us that one part of the body is no more important than the other. What happens if you lose your big toe? You lose your balance. That little big toe. We really don't think about the big toe until we stub it. But without it, what happens when you get an earache? You lose your equilibrium as well. And you kind of wobble like you've been down at JT's. Come up here for a minute, Arden. You look lonely. Just stand right here. You face them. You look pretty good.
Thank you.
Now, standing there facing the congregation is pretty simple. Amen?
Amen?
Now, the member, which is your left foot, isn't here today. So raise your left foot, and let's see how simple it is for you to look at the congregation. Now, church lasts about an hour. This is what Scripture's trying to show us. Well, I'm not as important as the worship leader. You can put your foot down, brother. I'm not as important as him. But the Lord says that you are. It's not the gift that is important. It is that you use the gift. And if you're not here, then that gift is unusable. If one member is gone from the body, it affects the body. Got one more thing for you. Close your eyes. Yeah, raise your foot.
No.
There you go. Read this for me. Yeah.
Ephesians 3:23.
Boy, the Holy Spirit ain't with you today because you're all wrong. You can go ahead and have a seat, brother. I appreciate it. But the point is, something like our big toe, we don't think about it much. My little pinky right here, I don't think nothing about my pinky until one day I looked at it and it was all crooked. But it's still there. It can still do things. So I would rather have a crooked pinky and I still have the member than going to see Don and say, cut it off. It's crooked. It don't look right. It don't function quite right. But then he cuts it off. The member's gone. Something is missing. Now I can't rest my cup of coffee. I think that's why my pinky crooked, because I rest my cup right there. And now it's gone and I can't rest it. So my thumb and my forefinger is going to get tired because it has to take the place, the load of the little finger. Same thing applies when one member is gone, one member isn't there with the rest of the body, another portion of the body has to take up the slack. When we can't see, our sense of hearing increases. When we can't hear, our sense of smell increases because the body has to make up for the missing member. But that's not how Jesus intended it to be. He didn't intend for one body to have to pick up the slack of the other member. He created the body with all the members to be present all the time. Oh, the preachers tell me I got to be in church every Sunday. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that there isn't times that we legitimately can't make it. But when it's too cold, too hot, I overslept, That don't work. I'm not going to judge you. But at some point, we'll have to answer to the Lord about it. You know, whether you come here every Sunday or not is not for me to say. I read an article where it says that Christians aren't obligated to go to church every Sunday. I don't know where he got that from. You're not obligated. The Lord ain't going to strike you dead. He ain't going to take your salvation away. But what is our number one function on this earth? It's to glorify him. And if we can't take the time to go into his house and worship with the other members of the body, how are we glorifying him? We're not. Preacher, you just want people in the pews. No. It doesn't matter if there's 10 here. It doesn't matter if there's 100 here. The word stays the same. The same message is given. So remember that regardless of what you think of you and what you think about what part of the member of the body you are, Scripture tells us that The parts that we think don't matter are the ones that God holds in the higher esteem. He doesn't hold me because I'm the pastor of this church at a higher esteem. He holds in a higher esteem the person that comes in here and cleans his house. The person that takes a meal to their sick neighbor. The person that plays the guitar. Over in the corner, nobody can see him. But God looks at him and says, you are just as important as anyone else. And we can tell when Bruce ain't here and we don't hear that dum, dum, dum. We've gotten used to it and it's helped with the worship. And we miss it. We miss it when anybody is not here. We miss it. And if we, for whatever reason, don't come, God may have been going to use us to bless someone. So in closing, let's remember this. We've been talking about relationships. And our relationship with God is the most important. But our relationship with one another is right below that. How can I put trust in you if I don't know you? How can you put trust in me if you don't know me? What if I come in here one Sunday and I need to speak to Sandy? Her and I relate on a little bit different level because of our Pentecostal background. And so what if I had a question to talk to her about that had to do with that and she wasn't here? I couldn't ask. Or if I wasn't here, she couldn't ask. So it's important. We got to remember that this building is not the church. It's the house of the Lord. The church dwells within the house. Jesus Christ is the head of the church and his body is the church and has members of the body and we are the church. The importance of the members of the body of Christ coming together to worship and fellowship cannot be overstated. That's why we find the word fellowship so many times in the New Testament. Then lastly, well, second to the last. When one member of the body is missing, it affects the whole body. There is not one member of the body that is more important than the other. And lastly, and please don't get angry because this is probably the most truth I've spoke this morning. You cannot claim to love Jesus and not love his church. Can't do it. Because he is the church. So if you claim to love Jesus, you have to claim to love his church because he is the church. I read an article the other day. I don't know this pastor. I've never really heard of him until now. His name's Josh Harris. Had a big old mega church. I can't remember where it was at. It may have been in Utah or Nevada or somewhere. He wrote a couple books. He's a best-selling author. Kiss Dating Goodbye was one of his books. And then he didn't have a seminary degree. So he thought maybe he ought to go to seminary. So he went to seminary, and when he came back from seminary, he has now divorced his wife. He no longer claims to be a Christian. He gave up his church. He even went as far as to apologize to the LGBTQ community for saying their lifestyle was a sin. Scripture talks about these kinds of things. Scripture talks about in the last days, it's going to be hard to find the word of God spoken in truth. And I'm not saying that seminary had anything to do with it. I don't believe seminary had anything to do with it. We all make up our own minds. And as I read the article, the only thing that I really thought about was how? How does this happen? How do we go from this relationship to this? It was like it was almost overnight for him. He had shocked, I guess, you know, people that know him were just shocked. Probably about just like y'all would be if I come in here next Sunday and say, I'm not a Christian no more, you got to find a new pastor. But some denominations have ordained ministers who are atheists. I don't see how that works either. So it's important for us to gather as the body of Christ to learn the truth. Fellowship is good, encouragement is good, but God's truth. If you're not getting God's truth here, you need to go somewhere else. If you don't think I'm giving you God's truth, you need to find somebody else to give it to you. Because we are in the last days, I believe. May not be in my lifetime, but time is drawing near. And Satan is doing everything he can to steal what is God's. And he can't steal it unless we allow him. He doesn't have the power on his own to do it. But God gave us free will. And so when we have that little chink, that little separation in our armor, Satan's like electricity and water. He takes the path of least resistance. All he needs is that little hole like a mouse, and there he's in there eating up your insulation. And when he gets through the insulation and he gets to your heart, you're in trouble. We're in trouble. So let us remember, only God's truth is the true truth. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, we thank you for the privilege that you have given us to be a member of the body of Christ, a member of the body that is the church, a member of the body that our Lord and Savior is the head of. Father, give us a heart to be better servants. Father, give us a heart to desire you. Father, give us a heart that will overcome our desires, our fleshly desires, and the desires that the world puts before us. Father, once again, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to help us grow a closer relationship with you. Father, I pray that you will use this church body, this local body, as your lighthouse to this community. Show us what needs to be done to further your kingdom and to glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty.